You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. We're doing our final exit interview today. We've done a bunch of them. We're going to talk about Derek Jones Jr. today. If you want to listen to the rest of our exit interviews with the rest of the Heat's roster, you could find those in the archives over the last couple of weeks. As always, we'll go through some of Derek Jones Jr.'s strengths, opportunities, and then answer some key questions about next season. Let's start, David, with some of the numbers. Derek Jones Jr. in his first real NBA season. I know the Heat went into this year kind of talking about him like he was their first round pick. Right? They didn't have a first round pick last year, but he was their young guy. Two-way player 2 years ago from Phoenix, got a regular roster spot going into this season. Averaged 7 points per game, 4 rebounds, 0.6 assists, 0.8 steals, 0.7 blocks, all in 19.2 minutes per game in 60 games, 14 of which he started. I think the takeaway from Derek Jones Jr.'s season is that he wasn't supposed to be a major rotation player, given how deep that this roster was, but he forced Spo to play him with his high energy play and specifically his strong defense.
Yeah, playing more games last year than he did in the previous 3 years of his career, or 2 years of his career. That's pretty impressive. So carving out more playing time, making himself more of a factor. Defensively, as you pointed out, a big part, or at least a vital part of that zone defense that Spoelstra liked to go to, just because his length made things so easy. He could cover so much ground. He could make things difficult for passing lanes and things of that sort. So he was a factor on that end, and good to see him get more playing time. I remember you talked to him last summer at Summer League, and it looked like he was on the rise as a player because he had committed to the work ethic. He had committed to developing himself as a player, working on his outside shooting, something that had been a problem early on and not really a factor at all. He did shoot 30% last year, which is significantly higher than he had in his previous two seasons.
So. Yeah, 19% the year before that, so that's a lot better.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an improvement. I wonder how much more of that we'll see. And even still, as many games as he played, injuries did play a part in limiting him at some point, and he wasn't a factor late in the season, right, when injuries kind of impacted.
Well, let's get to that for a second, because you mentioned the threes, you mentioned the defense. The Heat were 1.2 points per 100 possessions better defensively when Derek Jones Jr. was on the court, and you mentioned he was the anchor of that zone defense. The Eric Spoelstra experimented with the zone early in the year. Typical zone, your guards play the two spots up in the point of attack. You've got your forwards out there on the wing, your center's controlling the paint, right? We saw Spo start moving guys around. Eventually got settled in with Derek Jones Jr. at the top of the zone, at that point of attack, with those long arms of his. He'd either go there with Justice Winslow or Josh Richardson, just these long wingspan guys. And all of a sudden, these opposing ball handlers just like, we're encountering this forest of arms every time they tried to dribble and penetrate Miami's defense. And so Derek Jones Jr. was huge for that. In those games where he wasn't available due to injury or otherwise, I thought that zone defense specifically started to slip and tail off a little bit. It just wasn't as impactful. It wasn't as dangerous. It wasn't as bothersome for other offenses. And so Derek Jones Jr. was a big part of that. We saw the zone not work as much towards the end of the year. It is a little gimmicky. I think it's easy enough to scheme against. It reminds me a little bit of the Wildcat from when the Dolphins used that many years ago. And the yards per carry just got less and less as the season went on. And then by the second season of the Wildcat, it was basically useless. Yeah.
Right.
I wonder if they scrap the zone. And if they do scrap the zone, where is Derek Jones Jr.'s value set in? Because he's kind of small. He's kind of tall. Where is he defending? If he's a man-to-man defender, where is he defending? Can he guard in space out on the perimeter as opposed to guarding in space in a zone defense scheme? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of part of the problem of having him get these opportunities and make the most of them in this gimmicky defense. It makes it hard to project exactly what kind of player he'll be. And he's still so young. He's only 22 years old, and he hasn't played very much in his early seasons. And, you know, Phoenix discarded him pretty easily because they had no use for him. But that's, I think, more an indictment on the Phoenix coaching staff or lack thereof, the lack of stability in that organization, period. They just couldn't find a way to mine what potential is there.
Pre-James Jones.
Yeah, yeah, good point. But it's also, it's hard to project exactly what's left and what's next for him, because while there were flashes 2 years ago in his first stint with Miami, you saw that in summer, and then we kind of hoped that he would be able to continue building on that. Then he was able to reach another level in his development last season. But is it cut off now?
I think you're hitting on our key question there. But a couple other things for what else went right for him. Can we talk about his rebounding for a second?
Sure.
Unbelievable rebounder. I mean, pound for pound, best rebounder on the team. Not close.
Well, that's not saying much. You only 90 pounds.
It's pound for pound. It's advanced stats, David. Three offensive rebounds per 36 minutes.
Rebounds per pound stat? I think there should be.
I feel like it wouldn't be that hard to bring up, right? You get all the weights are listed on Basketball Reference as well as all their rebounds per game, total rebounds. What would you do? You would have to do total rebounds divided by weight, and I guess then you would divide it by games played.
Yeah.
Or you would get really serious and divide it by possessions played.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, look, at 200 pounds, yeah, he, there are some guards that weigh that much. Deion Waiters, I think, weighs a little bit over 200 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Derrick Jones Jr., like, he got so many shots, or he scored so many points by just. I have never seen somebody so excited for a shot, for a ball to be in the air. More than Derrick Jones Jr. The ball goes in the air and he is ready to do anything to go get that ball. I think he almost hopes that his own teammates miss the shot.
And you know, when talking about all these positives for Derrick, it's hard not to get excited about a player like that, because look, there are flashes, the dunks are fantastic, the rebounds from out of nowhere, those are all great highlights that, as a fan, you can't help but gravitate towards. So and it's also the fact that he's, you know, 22 years old, and that he was, you know, a player who might have been out of the league if not for Miami giving him an opportunity. So there's so much there to kind of break down and unpack when it comes to analyzing Derrick's positives and things of that sort. But at the same time, he's exciting. He's fun to watch.
He's a rare silver lining to this season. I don't know how you can see what Derrick Jones Jr. And look, there's obviously, and we'll get into this in the next segment, there are drawbacks to his game.
That's absolutely
for sure. But he wasn't supposed to do what he did last year, and he did. And he forced his way onto the court with a very limited skill set. And that says a lot, and I think it says a lot about Miami's roster, number one, but it also says, I think it says more about Derrick Jones Jr., and I think we should appreciate that and just say, look, if he was your first-round pick, you got a good pick. You know, I think that worked out for Miami, and I think Derrick Jones Jr. is going to have a role to play in the future. But we'll take a break here, and then we'll talk about what he should work on this summer. You're listening to Locked On Heat. David, what do you think Derrick Jones Jr. needs to work on over the summer?
You know, we look, if you're there and sitting there across from Pat Riley, and he's talking to you about what you need to improve, the chances are he's going to tell you everything. And I think that's fair when it comes to Derrick. I think we saw enough there that there's potential, but he needs to continue to improve everything. Like, his shooting needs to improve. His ball handling needs to improve. He's not a weapon in any way. He's raw. He's still raw, and he's just raw and athletic, and that's why he gets the playing time he does. So
that word raw gets thrown around so much, but he is the definition of raw. If you are listening to this and you want to use raw as a descripting word for another NBA player, if they're not raw like Derrick Jones Jr. is, find a different descriptor.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he has all his athleticism. He has his size. It's a great combination of tools and skills, but at the same time, putting them all together hasn't been easy for him. So figuring out how to do so is going to be a challenge, but it's just probably increasing every workload in every aspect. And look, he also has to put on weight. Like as much as we can joke about his weight and things of that sort, he needs to be able to put
How much do you think he can realistically put on? He doesn't have a big frame. He's not this broad shoulder guy.
Isn't he? Like, I feel like he's not slight shouldered. He's not. He's just narrow. And I feel like a lot of that, I mean, so much of that is from the way a lot of guys are raised and brought up. And look, they stretch out to this unbelievable height out of nowhere, so there isn't a time to kind of put on weight accordingly. But, you know, these guys are so long, and maybe they're not eating properly. And look, he's 22. Like, I talk to older guys all the time, as do you, and they all talk about how much they've learned over the course of the career. Nobody goes into the league eating, you know, Chilean sea bass and vegetables, you know, three times a day and all the brown rice. They're eating
how
Chipotle.
Many, they're Josh Richardson. They're eating French fries. How many profiles have you read about, like, the player who is 26 or 27 and just started eating salads?
A lot. Enough, that's for sure.
It's like, so, he's really, really health conscious now. He ate a Caesar salad. It's like, good for freaking you, man. Way to, like, get the side salad instead of the tater tots. Yeah, you're really getting your life in order right now. Anyway, sorry.
I mean, no. You're absolutely right, though. But look, we saw what happened with Kelly Olynyk. Like, I don't know that the version of Olynyk that we saw in Boston, I don't know most people would have accused him of being fat or out of shape or anything like that, but there's a way of doing things in the Miami way, and he's lost 20-something pounds. I mean, that's a pretty significant amount of weight for a guy his size, and I think we're going to see more of a commitment to improving his health from Derek as well. So
he could,
you know, getting a little bigger.
He could probably get, I don't know, 15 more pounds, 20 more pounds, yeah, get up to 215, 220.
Easily. Okay. Easily. I really think, look, his legs, he needs to put on that weight.
You're right about that.
He needs to eat a little bit more healthy and probably put on some, you know, put on some protein, yeah, some weight.
Like, add some steak to that salad. And some salmon, you know?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's a pretty healthy. Absolutely. Salmon's packed with protein.
Is it? Are you a nutritionist now?
I've eaten a lot of salmon lately. I've been super into salmon. I don't know why. It's just fresh out here. Other than just getting into the gym, he needs to improve his handle a lot. Like, I shouldn't feel like you're about to dribble it off your foot every time you put the ball on the floor. And that's how I feel with Derek Jones Jr. I mean, he had, in total, more turnovers than assists last year, and it really wasn't close. And so, he needs to be able to put the ball on the floor. He needs to be able, because all of his shots, the ball, like, he touches the ball, and you wonder if a lot of times, okay, you get the ball in the corner, and you want to put the ball on the floor. That's the next point. I think just getting his feet on the floor when he's touching the ball is, like, the next step for Derek Jones Jr. Every time he touches the ball, he's 10 feet in the air, about to dunk it, you know? Like, if he can catch the ball and make a move, now you've really got an offensive player there. And that's just, it sounds so basic, I know, but he really can't do it. Like, he can't do it. Like, you can't pass him the ball in the corner and confidently expect him to drive the ball baseline and do something with it, you know? And that, I think, is just the next step. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, maybe this is a question that we should leave till the next segment, but I mean, how much of there is there to Derek Jones? Like, it's hard to separate the athleticism and the potential from the skill set and how those skills could potentially improve over the next, you know, 2-3 years of his career. So is he just going to be a guy who has all these physical tools and can't take his game to another level? Or do you think that there's a chance for him to kind of continue to improve these skills? Because, I mean, a lot of guys don't ever make that leap. And so it's, I think, a realistic question for Derek. It's, again, we've seen positive things from him. There's a commitment to the work, et cetera. But do you think that there's room for him to take his game to another? Oh, no, sorry. That's not the right question. There obviously is room. Do you think he can take his game to another level?
Yeah. Well, the thing that's reassuring is the fact that he's already done a big part of that, and that's getting that three-point shot going, 30%. It wasn't a big sample size. I think I don't even think he took 100 threes last year. It was, I think it was like 91 threes last year. He made 28 of them, 30%. But at least he made 30%. And that conversation I had with him over Summer League, he knew he had to work on that. That, more than anything, is, I'm not going to be able to stay in the league if I can't at least make a three. That's what he said to me. He's like, and he understood, as athletic as I am, and as many people I can dunk over, it doesn't matter if I can't hit this shot. And so he spent all of the summer before that, all of last summer working on that shot. Okay, well, now you're 30% of that shot. You've landed a contract. You're good for a year at least. And so work on this other stuff. I do think because he was able to make that progression there, he is capable of making steps. He is capable of making progressions. But let's talk about that because that is his key question. What is Derek Jones Jr.'s ceiling? Let's talk about it after the break. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. David, I'm going to answer the question you asked me because I kind of danced around it. Derek Jones Jr.'s ceiling. That really is the key question with him, because I don't think he's a guy who can be an all-star. I don't think he's got that sort of potential, even though he's got all-star athleticism. But
yeah, I mean, we're look, you know, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
here,
go for
but,
it.
No, because, you know, we're looking at Blue Notebook Mondays and analyzing prospects. And I think a big part of whatever a front office does is looking at these guys and seeing potential and whether or not they can take it to another level. So it's not just measuring physical, tangible aspects of their game and their development levels. So you look at Derek and yeah, you're right. He has all these tools, but is he going to be able to reach this incredible star ceiling? And I don't know that he has that in him.
He doesn't have the natural skill level. He's not a skilled player. He is just a freak athlete who tries super hard. And that there's a place for those guys in the league. But he's not a skilled player whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I mean, within context of the NBA, right? I mean,
yeah, of course.
He's got skills.
Yeah, I mean, he would kick my butt at 24-hour fitness. But
as much like James Johnson as you may be on the floor, I don't know if Derek Jones Jr. is your level of competition.
He needs to figure out what he's going to be an elite at, and it can't just be offensive rebounding, because offensive rebounding is useful, but you need another thing. And, you know, when I say when he has to go into the summer and work on his handle, he just needs to be able to not dribble the ball off his foot. He doesn't need to go out there and have, you know, Goran Dragic.
And how much of that is a byproduct of his size, his dimensions? Like,
yeah, he's a weird looking guy. Like, how, I don't know how you, like, not everybody could be lanky Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant is quite possibly the most skilled offensive player ever, but he's got also that weird body type where it's just like, I don't know, you got this weird high dribble, and I don't know how it doesn't get stolen from you all the time.
You know, it's the physical profile that's hard to deny. Who are the other comps in this room?
Giannis?
Brandon Ingram? Giannis?
Giannis, string being Giannis when he got into the league. Like, right out of Greece. Giannis was very slight. Long.
You're right, but I'll feel like that athleticism was already there. So maybe that's the hope then. It's like, you know what? Forget it. But then he's not going to get the same kind of opportunity in Miami that Adetokounmpo got.
And look, Giannis, at least he got picked in the first round. Let's not pretend that Derek Jones Jr. got picked in the first round. I mean, there is the knock on him has always been that he is not a skilled basketball player. But look, that's okay. He doesn't need to be Giannis. That's fine. He doesn't need to be even, I think you mentioned Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram's a really good ball handler, good facilitator, good passing vision. Derek Jones Jr. is none of that stuff. So what can he get good at? I think he can continue to get better as a three-point shooter, and I think he will. So now if you're able to defend at an average level and hit threes at a 35% clip, you're an NBA player. Period, end of story. I don't care if you can't dribble it off. You're an NBA player. But for him, I think he should be looking at a guy like, I don't know, an Andre Roberson or something, where you're just ridiculously long. You could stay in front of anybody and just be a all-NBA level defender. I think that's Derek Jones Jr.'s best route to sticking in the NBA at a high level as a high-level contributor, is just becoming an elite defender. I do think he has that potential because he doesn't have to touch a basketball that way.
Yeah, but isn't that limiting what he can do then? We do want him to be elite level as a defender or in any aspect of his game, but he can't just be out there as an offensive liability, which is the problem with Andre.
No, make and yeah, exactly. But make the shots. You know, shoot 30 to 35%. Andre Roberson doesn't even do that.
You'd be comfortable if Derrick Jones Jr. improved his defense by 25% and his shooting stayed around where it is right now?
That's an NBA player. I mean, he's not going to be... Is it fair to say that Derrick Jones Jr. isn't the long-term answer as a starting player for the Heat? I think that's fair.
I think it's depressing for a lot of our listeners. I think they were hoping for more. I think you look.
He's an energy guy questions. Off the bench, guys. Like, that's what he is. And that's a really useful player. I think he could be one of your 9 or 10 players on a good team. You need guys like Derrick Jones Jr. It's almost good that he doesn't need the ball. He doesn't even necessarily want the ball. Like I said, he just wants to go grab it when it's above the rim and dunk it home and then just play good defense, make a couple threes when he's asked to do it. That's fine.
Is it then another thing that, you know, people are looking at this team's salary cap situation, their lack of draft picks, and they're like all in on Derrick Jones Jr.? And that's fine. I mean, that happens with draft picks around the league. A guy gets picked and you're hoping, look, we're still on Deion Waiters Island even after everything we've seen this past year. So, I mean, maybe that's the case for Derrick Jones Jr. and the enthusiasm. Again, I mentioned it before, you know, the highlights that he puts up are exciting. It's hard not to root for a guy like that, but are we overstating what his impact can be? And maybe we just, as a collective fan base, need to kind of hit the brakes a little bit. And I agree. Look, if he takes another leap, that's great. This is all just, you know, more on top of what we had seen before, the cherry on top. So
he needs to straight line drive. I don't need him to dance with the ball. I don't need him to ever pull off a crossover. Straight line drive to the basket so that he can dunk it. That's it. That's all I need him for. Continue shooting at 30% or better. And then, you know, outside of the zone, play really good man-to-man defense. That's an NBA player. I'm fine, and I think that's okay. And the energy and the want that he brings to the court, I think he'll stick with every coaching staff that he ever plays for. They'll love him. He'll be great in training camp. He'll be great in practices. But let's not pretend that Derrick Jones Jr. is going to be an all-star. He's not. The skill level's not there, and I don't mean it. I'm not trying to be mean to Derrick Jones Jr. That's what it is. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, that's why he wasn't picked. I mean, that's what it is. And that's okay. He's made a lot of it. So I think the Heat of a good player, he's not Bam. He's not Josh. He's not Justice. As much as you want to group him into the kids, he's not that. I mean, he's just not. He's going to be a role player. He's going to be a roster guy. He's not a core piece. But we like Derrick Jones Jr., and he was one of the more entertaining players on the Heat last season.
Yeah, that was my next question, is whether or not we should include him in the kids, because it feels like a lot of people are hoping that he is, just because of his youth. But
the Brady Bunch. He's the Brady Bunch with Duncan Robinson. Fine. Duncan Robinson, Yante Mate, and Derrick Jones Jr., they can all join. I don't care. No. Yeah, whatever.
So it's not realistic then.
He's fine. He's fine. And I like him, but he's fine. That's it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And, I mean, I think this team would probably still be looking to improve their front court, and they're going to look to improve either 3 or 4 spot. And like, Derek's a nice guy to back up or to start until draft player X steps up and takes over that position. But I think this team is better served by having Justice at the point and Josh Richardson playing alongside him in the backcourt.
And the good thing about him is ultimately he will come off the bench. You don't have a lot of guys with his athleticism and his defensive ability coming off the bench. That's a real plus for him. And so he's got a role. Like I said, he's got a role to play, but he's not an all-star.
That bench with, you know, Deion, Goran Dragic, Derrick Jones Jr., James Johnson, and Kelly Olynyk, that was a starting group for Miami a lot of times last season. So if you can improve somehow the starting lineup a little bit, I mean, it could be pretty good. But, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves here because a lot of things have to fall in place. But that's the situation.
Well, that's it for our exit interviews. Again, you can check them all out in the archives. We did them over the last couple of weeks, every player on the roster. So go check those out. Thanks for listening. You can connect with us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Yeah!